sip. Let's tune into Brad and Britt.
It's the Brad and Britt cast. We do four each week. This is number four this week. So by my count, it's our last one this week. Thank you. Hello.
And I'm positive this will be the best one of the week. I'm really, really thinking that's going to happen.
It's getting better, getting stronger, getting better every day. Mama Cast, great song.
Nice.
Great song. Heard in an episode of Lost. Okay.
Correct.
That's the only trivia I know. Speaking of I know you're going to hate me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know it's important to investigate what happened on January 6th. The country was almost overthrown. The government was almost. I understand. But I think there needs to be an investigation of Jeopardy. I'm sorry. Every fucking night I'm ready to kill someone because they are inconsistent. They're just making shit up. One of the answers was, this woman has won 22 grand slams in tennis and may win the 23rd, which would give her the record. And of course it is, who is Serena Williams? Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. The person says, who is Serena Williams? And I go, okay, well, that's correct. Except here's the problem. They accept last name only answers. So if she would have just said Williams, they would have accepted it. But you can't know that she didn't mean Venus Williams.
Right.
Right? You wouldn't have known that. But they would have accepted it. And also, if she would have just said Serena, would they have said no? Because they always accept only last name answers. But the first name, it could have been Serena Horowitz. from Long Island. She might not have meant Serena Williams. So they've got to get their shit together on what counts and what doesn't. Stop it. It's got to stop.
Brad, in the words of David Letterman, try breaking the pills in half.
Okay.
I think you need to take just a little break from Jeopardy. I think perhaps maybe a month, 6 weeks, a little time apart, revisit sometime in August where the relationship can run anew.
It's just getting to me. It's getting to me.
I think you officially become a senior citizen when you're there.
It's called peak Jeopardy. I've reached peak Jeopardy.
It's so great. The generation that was Woodstock and sexual freedom and sit-ins at the college president's office has turned into the people that yell at Jeopardy. I do love that. The summer of love, indeed. Oh,
look, Kevin McCarthy's been subpoenaed. How nice.
There it is. There's the story. He's among many, he's the main guy as well. The biggest fish that they got. Republican House Leader Kevin McCarthy and other lawmakers allied with Trump's subpoenaed with the Capitol riot probe. So we'll see how that goes and how they'll try to ignore those subpoenas and et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. We also have Jim Jordan, Mo, not Mel Brooks of Alabama.
Yeah.
Andy Biggs, who should be locked up in a loony bin, Arizona, and Scott Perry, who is completely in on it. Those four.
Marjorie doesn't make the cut.
Well, no, she wasn't even in Congress.
No.
But like she'd only been in there for 3 days, so she really didn't have time, I don't think, to be a fit. But you don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I do have a pre-hearings taunt excuse that will come from the Fox News Republican Party industrial syndrome. It'll be why. Why are you holding hearings about the election in 2020? Why aren't you people over that? Why are you wasting our time on that when inflation is running rampant across the country? What do you think? Right. You like that one?
We can do like 20 minutes of obnoxious Fox taunts. While families are looking for formula to feed their babies, Joe Biden continues to go after this bullshit. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that Fox.
Absolutely. Yes. Please be specific about your whataboutisms. It's very important. I gave a broad one. I just said inflation.
Exactly.
But, you very wisely moved it into specifics. That's good.
When Joe Biden isn't trying to kill babies, he's trying to starve them, and now he's trying to cover up his tracks with this stuff. Yeah, you can do all of that stuff. My God. Again, if you protest in front of a Supreme Court Justice's house, that's terrorism. But if you try to kill Mike Pence on January the 6th of 2021, and you swing at a police officer with a flag,
Brit, that's legitimate political discourse. You know it.
That's exactly what it is.
Stop it. You are such a hypocrite. Grow up. G-R-O-W up.
How's that investigation into the leaker of the Supreme Court decision? Have we dragged somebody through there? Have we perp walked somebody?
You know what? Why are we investigating legitimate political discourse on January 6th that was a tourist visit that was infiltrated by Black Lives Matter people to make Trump look bad? Why are we investigating that when somebody leaked Alito's decision in progress? What, you're right. There's a good one. I like that. That's good.
This is my current thought.
There are no bad answers here. Yeah.
This is my current thought about the Alito opinion, which goes back and it looks at Sir Matthew Hale, right, from the 17th century, and cites him as some sort of expert on abortion and why we need to not let women get abortions.
Wait, that's not the I have no greater life to give than my own. That's Nathaniel Hale, right?
That's Nathaniel Hale. That's
that's a little bit later on.
Sorry.
So
Alan Hale Jr. was, of course,
the skipper. Yeah, he was the skipper. I mean, what they stride this line conservatives do between the very latest technology, which allows you to hear a heartbeat right after the guy comes, right? There's a heartbeat in that woman like 3 seconds after the guy blows a load. But they also want to have 500-year-old bullshit to mix in. So they kind of stride the line between the very latest in scientific and medical technology and also, you know, 17th century bullshit. They love to just kind of grab at those two things and try to weave them together into something, right?
Well, you know, actually, as you say that, I'm thinking about it kind of makes sense in the way they frame this, in that if by definition you're against all kinds of different progress in social areas, politically, the way rights have evolved, that's progress. I mean, the founding fathers, if you could wake them up and say, you know, since you wrote that, things have changed, and now women can vote. Blacks were freed from slavery 80 years after the country was founded. This guy Abe Lincoln came along. They didn't even know about Lincoln, right? They never heard of him.
No, I don't know.
And there was a civil war. You know what? I think they'd be totally cool with that, right? But not today's Republican Party. They're not cool with that at all.
Do you think that if the founding fathers, this is another kind of philosophical question, if the founding fathers were alive today and they knew very well what they were doing when they decided to go ahead and say, all right, we're going to allow slavery, that's going to happen. If they could see the remnants and the results of that all these centuries later, do you think they would go, you know, we probably shouldn't have done that? I don't think that was the best idea. I think if we could go back in time, we would probably just abolish slavery right at the beginning.
Those were compromises to create a country. They were horrible compromises. Right. They were inhuman compromises. They're incomprehensible compromises to us, but they were compromises. And under the assumption that these really were very, very smart people, I again reiterate that they knew they were fallible, that they were not perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's why they put the phrase in there, a more perfect union. They didn't say it was already perfect. But selectively, guys like Alito want to go back, not even to that time, but you're right, to the 17th century.
Yeah.
And cherry pick views of abortion. I love that word, the quickening.
Yeah.
Was there ever a movie with that title?
I think so, and it's a biblical term. It's a biblical term too.
I know, but but to do that is just, you know, to deny progress. I'm not talking about progress in the last 75 years in medicine post World War II. Yeah. I'm talking about they're willing to deny any progress post 1700. Okay. It just kind of stopped there. They knew everything. And it's absurd. It's sick. It's horrible. And I don't know. We're going to get this decision and we'll see. You know what? Well, there is, I think there's one good thing about knowing ahead of time this is going to happen. It does, I hope, maybe not. Maybe I'm completely wrong. It does take some of the steam, the pent up steam that would have occurred when the decision came down. If we didn't know anything like we know now, that it's 99.9% likely that they're going to overturn. There isn't going to be a John Roberts convinced justice who will leave the Fab Five that are going to take this in the direction that we don't want to take it in. So maybe it's better that way, that we do have some premonition as to what's going to happen. I don't know.
No, it's the destruction of one of our beloved institutions. What are you talking about? This is the worst thing that's ever happened to have a decision. I don't think.
Yeah.
That's what you would think. I mean, it's like that blows my mind that that's the takeaway from this story, is that we're so pissed about the leaker. Now, when we find out it's a conservative, it's not going to, it's not going to matter.
It doesn't even matter. If you're willing to suspend your good judgment, not you, but the collective view, and think that the real problem with the way the Supreme Court has been operating, you know, for the last 20 years, probably, is that we got a leaked memo from February about what's coming ahead. If you think that's the problem, and it isn't, number one, many of the decisions that are coming out, and number two, the process by which the court has been stacked, and the court has been not expanded, but it's been what's the word that the
Roosevelt,
it's been packed. Okay. That court packing is not just numerically the total number of judges. All right. Court packing to me has been shaving around the edges to cheat, to get justices put in place and deny justices a chance to serve, when you've destroyed the political system in the process, which is what Republicans have done. They've done that. Two out of three Trump justices, to me, are absolutely not legitimate justices. And the third one is questionable also.
Well, it seems fairly anti-democratic to have a guy appoint, you know, justices to the Supreme Court who is not the winner of a popular election. And I understand that we don't elect our presidents by popular vote. So maybe we could start there, but it seems fairly anti-democratic there. Just start with that. Just start
That's the softest criticism.
Yes.
Of what's going on.
That is.
Because the system wasn't set up specifically to allow minority presidents to keep running justices through.
Yeah.
But this has been the result of it. It wasn't set up that way. It's of their own doing. It's of their own doing, and the secrecy and the, you know what? Maybe we wouldn't even be in this position somehow, some way, if we'd have televised Supreme Court hearings for the last 35 or 40 years since C-SPAN came around.
That's so destructive. So destructive to the institution.
Yeah.
I was, for a number of years, at least in my lifetime, at least the Supreme Court would fake it. They would fake that there's a nonpartisan thing, and we've studied these things, and we don't care about political partisanship, and we don't take into effect all that stuff. And we just look at the law. And then every now and again, you get like a Bush v. Gore that kind of leaks through and goes, whoops, oh, well, I guess we fucked up there and showed who we truly are. And now it's not, there's not even a fakery. There's not even any kind of a faking at all. It's just naked. Like, we're going to figure out a way, even if we have to go back 500 years and cite some bullshit from some guy about nonsense, we're going to be able to overturn Roe v. Wade, because that's just what we want to do. We've been waiting 50 years. We had a giant hard-on, ironic, for Roe v. Wade, and we've got a decision, and it's not really the best way to go about it, but it's good enough. But we'll go ahead and do it. We'll go kill this thing off in its, what is 50 years? And it's, you know, 497th trimester. We can kill off Roe v. Wade. They're not even trying to fake it anymore. It doesn't look like. Wasn't Alito the one that was upset at Obama for calling him out for the Citizens United decision and shook his head? Wasn't he the one that was very, very upset about that?
I don't know. He's a dick.
I think at the State of the Union, Obama was like, oh, this Citizens United thing really sucks. And Alito's like, oh, no. And he just kind of shakes his head. Oh, black guy, why are you doing this?
And the problem is, I guess in a way, the Supreme Court is a representation of the dividing of the country in so many ways, in that there are not going to be, apparently, any Anthony Kennedys ever again. There's never going to be a David Souter again. Souter was nominated as a conservative, and once he got on the court, he figured out that he didn't have to be such an asshole conservative and started moving left. And Anthony Kennedy, kind of same thing. He moved to the middle when they thought that they had themselves a full-fledged right-winger, and Anthony Kennedy became the swing vote. And there are no swing votes anymore.
Not anymore.
The closest thing to it is John Roberts, the Chief Justice, and he becomes less swingy because he's surrounded by this this quartet of heavily partisan Republicans. Now, I don't even want to put a word after the word Republican. They're just... They are Republicans.
That's the way what you just said is sold to the American people, is the way that all these debates are sold. Well, you got these people over here on the left, and you got these people on the right, and you got this guy in the middle, and that's how the Supreme Court's supposed to work. As if the people, the crazy asses on the right, are equivalent to Sotomayor and to that crowd, to Kagan and those people. Like, these nutsos over here are exactly the same as these people on the left. And it's not. They're not the same. They're radically right-wing people, obviously, right?
I think so, but you know, we may be looking, you know, from the left side here, because you know, the argument would be made in the opposite direction too. But I don't think so. I don't think there is equivalence. This idea that there's always equivalence on everything is just not true.
It hasn't been true,
and I think, and I hope that next month, when we do have these hearings, that somehow, some way, they're not counteracted by things like, but Hunter Biden, what about that? And I don't think so. I think this is overwhelming stuff. And you can see the timing here, that on this day, near the end of the week, that they've now picked Kevin McCarthy and Jim Jordan's name out of the hat. It really feels, and this is just you and me emoting here based on news that we've just heard, to me, this really sounds like they do have a plan. They know how to roll this out piece by piece, person by person, because one of these times, maybe over the next few weeks, we could be sitting here on the air, and in addition to the notification, oh, fuck, Dow falls 400. it could be, you know, Trump. It could be Trump that they call and subpoena him. It seems like it's really leading to, they're running out of people now, except for him. They're running out. Who's left? Who's left? So if that's true, gee, maybe Merrick Garland isn't as stupid and old and unable to process information as
we live in a microwave world. And Merrick Garland is a five-star chef. He's making a French meal. You're going to eat till midnight. I mean, and hopefully I'll be saying that 2 years from now.
But as long as he doesn't hire Mario Batali, I don't care. I don't care that they let him off.
Mario Batali, the chef who was just acquitted on charges of sexual assault.
Yeah,
the chef that wears Crocs. That's the guy. There's the New York Times. Why the Justice Department is unlikely to investigate the Supreme Court leak. Here's the money shot. But it is far from clear that the justices want agents of the executive branch grilling their clerks and relatives and going through the computers in their chambers and cell phones of their associates. As a matter of constitutional principle, they are the co-equal branch of government, and none can be sure whether the leaker, if identified, turns out to be a liberal or a conservative.
See, this just is too stupid to talk about now. I don't want us to spend 5 minutes on the fucking. It's nothing. I don't care.
No, but it's central to an argument that's being peddled to a group of Americans who, frankly, are dangerous.
I know.
And may decide the next election. We have to stop coddling these people and telling them there's going to be an investigation. We will find the leaker. And then we will draw and quarter them in public. And you'll see it on the Sean Hannity show.
I'm sorry. You forgot to use the famous phrase, get to the bottom of.
We have to stop. Again, we have to stop coddling these people. And we have to find the leaker. There's not a willingness within that group of people at the Supreme Court. Unless John Roberts, you know, he's supposed to be the guy. Unless he says, yep, we're going to do whatever it takes to find out. What happened?
I don't see
a willingness to do that. I don't see that's the deal.
It doesn't matter. And I hate talking about this. And all you have to do is answer this question. So what law did they break again?
Exactly.
Okay, next subject. Okay, here you go. Take a pick here. Ready?
Let's do this one. Let's do the other big news of the day, which is prosecutors are pursuing an inquiry into Trump's handling of the classified material. This is the stuff that ended up in Eduardo.
I swear this is true. At the top of my sheet.
Yeah, there it is.
I titled this, "Why Did Don Take That Shit With Him?" That was the title. That's what I was going to have.
I'm not a legal expert. I never took one law class, never spent a day in law school, never took the LSAT. But if the shit ends up at your house, what's your excuse? I mean, how do you get around the idea that you took material that was classified, took it and put it in a place where it shouldn't have been?
I've got the defense.
Yeah.
You know, one of those pods, the things that you fill it up in your driveway, and then they put it on a truck and deliver it to where it could have been an errant delivery of a pod full of papers from the White House that was supposed to go to the archives, the National Archives, and just ended up on I-95 straight down to Palm Beach County. These mistakes happen, Britt.
Sure.
They just do, and I think that we really have to allow for errors to be made. Thank you.
I think the more realistic explanation is that AOC broke into his house and she put that stuff there to make him look bad. Or maybe Hunter Biden. Mm-hmm. Hunter Biden may have, on a Coke binge, gone into Donald Trump's house looking for Don Jr. to do a couple of bumps with, and he decided to go ahead and stow some stuff there.
I'll see and raise you one. It turns out that all those documents have already been scanned and are in another Hunter Biden laptop that was just discovered. It was just discovered at the bottom of the Potomac River, shrink wrapped and kept waterproof. So we're going to be able to see exactly what Hunter Biden scanned and tried to make the president look bad by scanning the documents, then having them sent down to South Florida.
Wasn't hermetically sealed in a mayonnaise jar under a bridge somewhere in Santa Monica or something? That's not what it was.
Duncan Wagnall's porch. No, sir. No, sir.
But I just don't see. I don't know. I can't understand how they would have a defense.
But whatever. I like the timing on this.
Yeah.
I do. I like the timing on things like this coming out, albeit with the warning that, of course, nothing matters. Nobody cares. No one will be moved. No one will change their mind about Donald Trump because of X. Since the drawing of the line of I can shoot someone on Fifth Avenue, that's been eclipsed many, many times.
So many times.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. MAGA King, home of the whopping bad insult.
Jeez.
Have you heard Biden? He's calling Trump the MAGA King, thinking that somehow
MAGA King is funny.
All right. First of all, I'm surprised they haven't already printed up the T-shirts and are laughing about it. And Trump would be thrilled. He can call himself. He would love that. You can't.
Well, This is where
it doesn't work.
This is where I land on your side a little bit, because he's kind of trying to play Donald Trump's game with the stupid nicknames and stuff. And you shouldn't play his game, because you should just leave that alone. But, you know, Matt, you can do all sorts of things with Lion King when you start with MAGA King, right? You can do like a fake knockoff of that logo and shit.
But that's so old. That was like the first week of Trump being in office. He was the Lion King. You can't do that. And by the way, the former guy, to me, is so vanilla and generic that it defies parody. It just is. It's a truthful thing that isn't really that funny, that is... Everybody knows who you're talking about. I like just former guy.
The former guy. It was good because he drops it a couple of weeks ago in some sort of press conference where he goes, "Ah, man, I really miss that former guy." He just kind of shakes his head and does it. It is very dismissive, and it's very reductive. It's dismissive,
and it reminds you.
Yeah.
The word former means not now. You are of the past. And I like that. I think the
MAGA thing as a way to kind of wrap up and put a bow on the crazy ass cult members of Trump. I don't think that's a bad thing per se, and to call them out for being radicals and stuff. I think that works. But yeah, the MAGA thing is too cute by half, probably. And I don't know if that was in a. It also feels contrived. It also feels like it came. Hey, let's go through a pitch meeting. What are we going to call him? We'll call him this. We'll call him that. Oh, MAGA King. Yes, that's it. We all voted on that one. That's what we're going to go with. I mean, it kind of feels like that. It kind of feels. It's a little on the nose. It's a little contrived. You know, it doesn't feel. Doesn't feel like spontaneous or anything like that to me.
All right. Another topic. Mama, don't take my Bitcoin away. You see, there was once a song by a guy named Paul Simon. And Mama, don't take my...
It's a Kodachrome. He had to write to Kodak Corporation to get permission to use it.
I don't even know what Kodachrome is. All right, so... crypto was certainly flagged as peak crypto when you watched the Super Bowl and you saw all the crypto ads, and they're playing in a, which is a crypto arena, which
that
is
would be the one in Los Angeles, formerly known as the Staples Center, Brad.
Staples. All right. And who is that crypto.com? What the hell? Who's
crypto.com? Crypto.com. And from what I understand, there's a lot of Chinese money in that thing. I think that's the one that Matt Damon did the commercial for, and he got paid a shit ton of something. I don't know if it was dollars. I don't know if it was crypto.
No, that's the funny thing. He did get paid in dollars. He's getting slammed.
There you go.
Because he's not stupid.
That's correct. He's not stupid.
He wanted money. He wanted that. Just for reference point for a non-crypto traders and fans who don't pay attention, in the last 7 days, 25% of the entire global crypto market has gone poof, gone, see ya, which means a lot of crypto billionaires are now crypto millionaires, and some crypto millionaires are crypto thousandaires, and some crypto thousandaires are crypto zeroaires, and some small time, you know, obviously a lot of people now are underwater in their crypto thing. But it's been pointed out that a crypto has lost, the statistic is it's gone down 80% about 8 or 9 times in the last 10 years. It's just some stunning amount of times that it's crashed like this, and it always comes back. And it always comes back until you're the one that's in it, and then it never comes back, right? And you're...
Well, I don't.
You're living in a cardboard box. I don't know.
I don't necessarily have a lot of sympathy for the smart ass trust fund, you know, Ivy League crowd that they're just so smart and way smarter than you, and you guys are idiots for trading bonds or whatever you're doing. I'm going to be over here in Cryptoville, and some of those guys are getting spanked. I don't care. But I think the dumbasses who got like, I'm going to just convert my entire 401k into crypto. I mean, that I feel badly for those people.
Yeah, that was about a month ago that Fidelity said, we're going to make the plans that we administer, if the owner of the company says okay, we're going to make it so that some of your 401k money can be put into crypto. I don't even want to use the word invested in crypto. See, that's a way of softening what you're doing. I mean, I don't know how you call this an investment when it can move, you know, this violently, although a lot of stocks have moved just as violently in the last few weeks and months. I get that. But that commercial with LeBron James and his kid is so irritating. And now it's 10 times more irritating. We're going to the league. We're going to the league. And it's for crypto. It's terrible. So you know that 98% of people who are losing money now are not rich hedge fund children.
Yeah.
Who it doesn't matter. There are a lot of people who I can guarantee you did not follow the advice of anybody from Warren Buffett, who of course said he wouldn't take all the crypto in the world for $25. He's not interested in it. That he's totally against it, versus more conventional wisdom, which is if you're going to do it, 1%, 2%, maybe if you want to go wacky, 5% as a hedge kind of thing. Those aren't the people that are sitting there today. Probably there, I guarantee you, Britt, there are people that went halfsies, that went 75%. This is it. This is the one. This is good. This is it, Alice. We're going to be rich kind of thing. There's all so much of that. And you can see the way it's advertised that's what it is. That's what it is.
Well, you're watching the NBA playoffs a lot. There's a lot of advertising for various crypto products on the NBA.
Of course.
Yeah, it's
so many that I don't even know what they are.
I know,
doesn't this bug you when something comes on and you don't even quite know what you're being advertised?
You don't even know
what the product is.
I think the one that Steph Curry is pitching for, I think it's like an ETF that trades crypto. That's as far as I can tell you about any of it. I mean, but the rest of it, no. And I've seen, finally, there are some people who know this stuff and some mathematicians, computer scientists who have studied blockchain who are going, this is nonsense. This is not a thing. I don't know how they fooled this many people. Aren't we near it? Isn't there going to be some sort of a movie or something? Or wasn't the anniversary of Guyana, of Jonestown? Didn't that just come up recently? There are a lot of people who have studied this thing are way smarter than I am about blockchain and computer science and math that are going, this shit that's been pitched to you is not real. Whatever you think you're buying, it's a black box, pal. So I continue to be extremely skeptical of the whole thing. If it is a thing, it appears to be one of the greatest gifts to organized crime and terrorism that's ever been, right? Untraceable funds, able to shift across national lines in an instant, correct?
Well, yeah, but I think what you think you know and what I think I know may become largely irrelevant if these markets freeze up and they're unable to be liquid. And when you go to your phone, to your account, suddenly it says zero when you didn't do anything. And you go, where's my money? And you don't have any kind of protection like you do in a bank account, or if you have your stocks with a brand name brokerage. If Morgan Stanley or TD Ameritrade, if they go under, you don't lose your money because your money is not with them. It's with a third party. So those protections are not in place for crypto. And so if that kind of loss occurs on a mass scale, and it hasn't happened yet, but they're talking about it. The companies are Coinbase is talking about the possibility that you might lose all your money if our company were to go bankrupt. Why? I'm not investing in the building and the employees and the company. I'm buying and I'm exchanging to get a financial product. So it could be real trouble. I could be wrong about this.
No,
and by the way,
right. I think you're
it could also go right back up to 60,000, where that was the peak of several months ago. It's in the 20s now. So more than half is gone. And full disclosure.
Yeah.
Let me check, you got some
exposure?
I do have some exposure.
Oh,
yeah, and you know, I thought I was doing the smarter thing. I and this is when it, I bought some of this about 4 months ago. I did buy Coinbase, the stock.
All right.
And at this moment, are you ready? And I've never seen this in my life. I'm looking at my thing right now. You can't see it. My Coinbase, quote unquote, investment is down 72.83%. And I'm laughing about it because, of course, it's ridiculous. And it's so bad that it's got to be good at some point. So I'm not going to sell. There's not much money left there.
It's not just a dead cat bounce. It's a rotten, like, skeleton, cat skeleton bounce that you're looking for at this point.
And no, it's not 1%. It's probably, you know, one half of one tenth of, I mean, it's nothing. It's not a thing.
This feels like,
This
entire movement feels like the Macarena. It feels like 25 years from now we're gonna be like, I don't know why we were dancing to that. How many years
did they keep playing the Macarena at the baseball games? It lasted a long time.
Yeah, but then eventually you got to a point where like that was a huge mistake. I don't know what we were thinking. Let's stop. It feels like leisure suits. You know, it's like at some point you go, I don't know why we wore those things. Nehru jackets. It seemed like a good idea at the time. I don't know why we did that. I just don't. And I feel like that's gonna happen. And I feel terrible if there's some joker out there, he had 50 grand in a retirement account and he decided, hey, I'm going to jump on this thing. And then, you know, now he's done. He's washed. He's down to zero. He's got to work as a Walmart greeter till he's 88 years old. I mean, I feel badly for those people for sure. But holy shit, this thing looks so fake and so it's just not believable to me. It's just not. I mean,
think about it. If you felt that way about it most of the way through, which I think you have, this just follows the script. It's the same every time. It's just a different product. It's a different idea. This is the big one. This one you can't look away from. This is the real deal. This is changing the world. Everything is changing the world. It's Elizabeth Holmes. I'm going to change the world. And if you don't want to get on board, what's wrong with you? Everybody is Steve Jobs. Everybody is Bill Gates. Everybody is Elon Musk. And if you don't get it, then the problem isn't me. It's you. And that's how they're selling crypto, right? All these commercials are, how dumb are you to not be on board with this? This is a can't lose down 72.
This is the people who thought the world, but you use the apt analogy, Elizabeth Holmes. Yeah, you got to get on board. Well, yeah, every time you have some joker like Elizabeth Holmes or the WeWork guys or, you know, Enron or whatever, and they're selling.
And by the way, when you look at the people she talked into giving her money.
Oh my God. Oh my God. She had Walgreens. The guys at Walgreens who were supposed to be like super smart. She fucking conned those guys. She conned CVS. Anybody.
I wish we could get the real story on how Rupert Murdoch wrote her. Was it $100 million?
Yeah.
Check. I mean, she must have just blown him right there.
Possibly.
In the, don't you think? I mean, it's got to be that. What the fuck? He's Rupert Murdoch, a guy who can make pretty savvy decisions about business and has been. And no one right now is saying he's out of it. He's not. So this was 10 years ago, probably. Mm-hmm. That he wrote her a gigantic. Rupert Murdoch is one of the.
I mean, I'd blow him for that kind of money, but you know, geez, I don't think he would want me to. But it's every time you have.
Next time you run for office, this clip is going to get used against you.
Mr. Murdoch,
he said he would blow Rupert Murdoch for a vote.
I mean, everybody's got a price. I mean, this is a really good, this is going to be a revolutionary idea. Oh, that's what I have to do to fund it? Well, here we go.
General Mad Dog Mattis, wasn't he one of the investors also?
She rooked a lot of people into this thing. She rooked a lot. That's not the only example. The WeWork guy. How many of those Wall Street, very smart, way too smart for you, way smarter than you stupid ass investors on Main Street. He rooked a lot of people out of a lot of money. The Enron guys kept lying and lying and lying and lying. Oh, this is a great corporate. You got to do this. And they went tits up.
I think we got to start a new idea. We're going to call it We Don't Work.
And there's a, I think there's a,
I think it's gonna,
There's a couple documentaries about that one too, about how many really super smart people were not that smart when it comes to that shit. But yeah, I'm sorry. I can't buy into it. Maybe I'll miss out on my opportunity to retire when I'm 55 and live in Antigua or something. But
we got one more. This is a follow-up to yesterday as we were talking about Kathy Barnett, a person who wants to be the Republican nominee for Senate in Pennsylvania. And she's in the final three, clearly, with Dr. Oz and the rich guy, Dave McCormick. Although I think Oz may have as much money as McCormick. They're both really, really rich. And so Oz goes on Fox Business, a rare appearance on a Fox property there by Dr. Yeah. Oz.
The only, he goes. What a get.
The only place he talks, right? He's one of those. He says he and his campaign have learned a lot about Kathy Barnett in the last few days, and they are scared. Everybody's worried. We're concerned as Republicans. She attacked George Washington, founder of the country.
Yeah.
George Washington wasn't a founder of the country. Mm-hmm. He was the first president. He was a general who led our forces during the war. But okay, Dr. Oz, you're born in Turkey. Why would you know?
You shut your foul left-wing mouth. He was the father of our country, and I learned that when I was eight, and that's it.
So she attacked George Washington, this according to Oz speaking. She, at the same time, wanted to build a statue to Barack Obama. She's been saying stuff that's just nonsensical. She said things that are going to make her very difficult to elect in a general election. You know what? When another candidate goes down that road, you know they're seeing some survey information, some research that says, guess what? She out-crazied you. She fucking out-crazied you, and you don't know what to do. So attack her on race, and you don't do it by attacking her. You say she wanted to build a statue to Barack Obama, and you know who wants to build statues to Barack Obama. Yeah. So she describes herself, of course, as an ultra MAGA candidate. She's moving up in the polls, and off we go. And if she does get the nomination for Senate, and Republicans have this tendency sometimes, depending on time and place, to really embrace the nuttiest of the nutty, the craziest of the crazy. We don't know. So bring her on. She's equivalent to some of those candidates. What was her name? Christine O'Donnell. Remember, she was the witch.
The witch
one from Maryland, from Delaware. She
was it Maryland. Or, I think you're right. But I remember that. That was crazy. I mean,
that crazy guy out in Missouri, the legitimate rape guy. Remember him?
Yeah, Roy Moore. Yeah. I mean, you get people
Judge
like
Roy
that.
Moore. Oh yeah, wow, you can't forget him. So we apologize, Judge Moore. We'll leave you off the list.
I mean, isn't this good news for Democrats to have the Republicans going?
Yeah, absolutely. Britt, I'm going up there this weekend to campaign for her. and you know, she didn't have any outside money, no PAC money, but now she does. And the people that are throwing money at her, it's that Club for Growth. Those are the same people, I believe, that are backing here where we are, Ted Budd. Okay. So when they see a piece of shit that is satisfying to them, they're in all the way.
Wasn't that Chocula guy? Wasn't he the guy that was in Club for Growth? Wasn't he leading that thing at one point in time? Chris Chocula, former right wing crazy ass representative.
But no one's ever a former in that world. They're forever.
It's Hotel California, right?
Yeah. Don't insult them that way. All right. We got it done. I got to go. Let me check to see how my Coinbase is doing here. It's doing real
should well. Be down 80% by now.
74.48% down.
I got to go with the Warren Buffett on this one. If you can't explain what it is or what it does, don't buy it. I mean, that's like the simplest, easiest. Like, if you can't do that, then that's always been Warren Buffett's thing, right? That's always been his mantra. If you can't explain to me what this is or what it does, I'm staying away.
Oh, it's easy for you to say.
Sure.
It's easy for him to say.